In Proverbs chapter 23, I'm not going to keep you real long this morning. Because of the weight of the message this morning at 11 o'clock, I want to kind of keep this just as simple and practical as possible, and hope and pray that God would use this Sunday school to teach and instruct our hearts in some very practical things of Christianity, and hopefully warm our hearts as we continue our series at 11 o'clock on the excellencies of Jesus Christ, the exact image of God's person. And I'm looking forward to that. So continue praying as we seek to learn something this morning. In Proverbs chapter 23, verse 23, just one truth, yet a verse filled with rich blessings. Proverbs 23:23. Buy the truth and sell it not. Also, wisdom and instruction and understanding. Buy the truth and sell it not. Our subject this morning is one which this present world knows very little of, nor values very highly. Truth. And though many might speak highly of its importance, few are willing to make the sacrifices to keep and preserve it. Yet the true believer should know the great value and significance of what the wise man speaks of this morning. For it was by the knowledge of the truth, Scripture says, that we were set free from sin, Satan, self, and condemnation. There's a liberty in truth. And yet there's an omnipotent power that also comes with truth. There's a sanctifying power in truth. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And yet that which makes truth so important and significant for the true believer, and that which makes him esteem it so highly, is that truth is an attribute of the Godhead three. Truth is a characteristic of God. God is known as the God of truth. The Father, God the Father, bears the title of a God of truth in Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 4. He's a God of truth. God the Son bears the title the way, the truth, and the life. And God the Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of Truth. So this is why the believer esteems such a virtue. Because it's a characteristic of God. Of all three of the Godhead. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Therefore, the true believer greatly esteems the truth and knows this infinite value and worth. And he ever strives to continually walk in the truth, like 3 John says, before God and man. He wants to bear that same attribute in his life as his Father has, as the Son of God has, as the Holy Spirit has. Because not only is it an attribute of God, it is something that God cherishes and esteems himself. And so the believer, being born again and being set free by that same truth, the true believer longs to walk in that truth before God and man. He wants to be a very truthful, upright, honest, and sincere believer. Truth is that which is trustworthy. That which sustains our expectations. If you know someone that is truthful, they're trustworthy. And they hold up to your expectations. Truth is that which does not disappoint, because it is what it really declares itself to be. That's why God is a God of truth. He's saying, I am exactly who I declare to be. There's no lie in me. There's no hypocrisy in me. There's no deception in me. I am the God of truth. You can trust me. Everything that you think and believe about me, you can expect. I'll never disappoint you because I am really what I proclaim to be. That same characteristic is what every true child of God should strive to obtain in their own lives. I want to be a Christian who lives in truth. Beloved, truth is opposite to falsehood. Truth is opposite to deceitfulness. It's opposite to deception. It's opposite to lies, and it's opposite to hypocrisy. And Exodus 34 said God is abundant in His truth. And because we've been born again by the Spirit of God and we now have the Spirit of truth living inside of us and the truth of God is sanctifying us and we serve and worship a God of truth and the way, the truth, and life is in us in the presence of the Holy Spirit, so the believer strives with all the temptations and weaknesses and infirmities and shortcomings that he has. He strives to be just as truthful as God in all things that he does. In his character, his conduct, his profession of faith, in dealing with his family, his loved ones, the church, the world. He's someone that wants to always say, I'm attempting by God's grace to live and walk in the truth. And yet we live in a world which denies and rejects and mocks the truth. A world which thrives on lies, dishonesty, hypocrisy, and falsehood. That's what we're living in. And sometimes that atmosphere, that spirit of deception, of falsehood, dishonesty, sometimes creeps into the church, into the believer, and we've always got to be on constant guard that we don't follow the ways of the world. It's amazing when you talk to some Christians how they think so little of the truth. It's okay if you lie a little. It's okay if you're deceptive. Don't be totally honest with everybody. Say what they want to hear, and because you want to avoid problems. I'm glad God's not like that. Truth is something that He esteems and values. Truth is something that He, again, is abundant in. Truth is something in which He relates and deals with us. God tells us the truth about Himself. He tells us the truth about us. He tells us where we're at in our standing with Him. We can always trust God because God is always going to tell us where we stand in relationship to Him. Would that truly be a virtue that believers would strive to obtain in all aspects of their lives? Beloved, we might be able to shine a little bit brighter in this world of lies, hypocrisy, and deception if people would say, you're a very honest and truthful individual. You know, my most relationships break because of deception and falsehood and lies and hypocrisy. If we don't have a relationship with God that is based upon truth, that relationship will falter. If we don't have a relationship in our marriage that is based on truth, that marriage will falter. If we don't have a relationship of truth amongst believers, then that fellowship will falter. That's why to walk in the truth in this world with all this pressure from a lying, hypocritical, false world, a dishonest world, to live or walk in truth in such a world requires great diligence and grace. We think sometimes it's easy to be truthful in a world where they abound in lies, and it's not. But don't forget not just the world, don't forget your own flesh and my own flesh and my own deception of my wicked heart as well. Sometimes simply not being totally honest and upfront is the easiest, we think, way out of. Isn't that what we tell our children? Be honest. Don't lie to me. Tell me what the truth is. Be honest to me. We always tell our children that, don't we? We want them to know that lying will just get you in trouble. One lie will lead to another one. And like the old preacher said, one lie leads to 1,000 lies. And you've got to then lie to cover up the first lie. And we try to tell and implement this on our children that you need to be honest and truthful. And yet sometimes we listen to the corruption of our own hearts and we believe by being deceptive is probably a safer way for me because it's not so discomforting to me. I can avoid the issue. I can avoid the problem. If I don't tell people at work that I'm a Christian when they tell their dirty jokes or hang up their pretty pictures, or they call pretty pictures, deceptive, wicked pictures, if I just kind of be quiet, then I avoid the problems. And I'm not really being truthful because I'm not being truthful to my profession, to my conviction. But that's the best way to do it because I can avoid controversy. And everybody seems like avoiding controversy is the easiest way to live. And we find out it's not. Have you ever found out when you try to avoid controversy, it just seems to build up more and more and we lose control of the situation? Because we're not truthful and honest and upright and sincere. Eventually it catches up to us. And then it's even harder to be truthful, to be honest, to be sincere. Well, that's not such a big thing. We can kind of be deceptive here. It's a gray zone. I found gray zones usually lead to red zones. And we always got to remember that one of Satan's titles is the father of liars. And under the title of liars falls deception, hypocrisy, dishonesty, deceivableness, falsehood. That's why in our text it says, listen, it says, buy the truth and sell it not. I'm getting ahead of myself, but you notice he doesn't put a price on it. He just says, buy it. And he says, whatever it costs, you don't ever sell it. So you've got an unlimited beginning and ending. Buy it at whatever cost it costs and sell it for no cost at all. Amazing, isn't it? By the truth, the wise men is meaning that we have to maintain and preserve in the truth, even though it oftentimes costs us a lot. That's what he means by buying the truth. Buy it. Whatever it costs you, you buy it. Because it's valuable. You can't put a price on being truthful, honest, and sincere. Buy it. Whatever it costs. Whatever it might cost you, you buy that truth. You don't know what you're asking me. This might cost me something that I hold dear. This might cost me comfort. This might cost me trouble. It might cost me more than I'm willing to pay. The wise man says, buy it at any price because it's invaluable. He's saying we must be prepared to purchase the truth at all costs, whatever it might cost us. And you know, sometimes in this wicked world, it's not easy sometimes being truthful and honest and sincere. We work around people who live on lies. I know it's not that bad. Everybody does it. You don't have to tell everybody everything. What they don't know, don't hurt them. That's not truth. Wouldn't that be terrible if God dealt with us the same way? If God had aught against us and He deceptively said, nah, it's okay. But in our hearts we know, God, something's not right. We would never be able to trust God in all His dealings in our lives. We would begin to doubt Him, that God is not being upfront and honest with us. This is what the psalmist meant when he said, search my heart in Psalm 139. He wanted God to search his heart, even though he knew God knew all things. But God, reveal unto me the truth about myself. I want to know the utter truth about myself that I might walk in the path of righteousness. Lead me in the path of righteousness for your name's sake. Why? I can only do that when it's done in truth. So be honest with me. Be sincere with me. If we do in our marriages when we have troubles and problems, when one of us comes home from work or something happens on the job or whatever it might be, and you know that your loved one's troubled, and you say, why don't you talk to me? We got to talk about it. We struggle with that we be honest with us, with one another. And you work on that relationship. And over the years, the trust builds, don't it? It's not honest being truthful. Because our flesh tells us it's easier to lie. Isn't it amazing? We didn't learn that when we was kids. You didn't learn. You didn't teach your children to lie. Did you do that, little Johnny? No. Where did you learn how to do that? It's amazing that It's almost, that's the first sin almost in a little child. What did you do? Did you knock that plant over? No. Nobody taught him how to lie. It's in our fallen nature to lie, to believe a lie, to live in a lie. Yet, beloved, God has freed us from that lying spirit, from that deceptive spirit. God has freed us from that, and He's shown us as believers the great value of truth. And that truth is the only thing that sets anybody free. Not just in regards of salvation, but also in regards to my relationship between me and God, my relationship between my family, my relationship with my fellow man, my relationship with the church. It's truth which makes us free. The church is known as the pillar and ground of what? Truth. Honesty, sincerity, truth. And so the psalm, or so the wise man here says, buy it. Whatever it costs you, buy it. And never sell it. Don't ever give it away. Don't ever sell it at whatever cost it might cost you. Don't ever sell the truth. Because if you do, you're selling something that is very invaluable. I like how the wise man also adds also wisdom, instruction, and understanding. Don't sell those things either. But we're concentrating basically this morning on the first half. Buy truth and sell it not. Over in Zechariah chapter 8. Zechariah. Just go to the book of Matthew and go back a few books. Two, as a matter of fact. Go to Matthew and go back two books in the Old Testament. Zechariah chapter 8. Zechariah chapter 8, verses 16 and 17. These are the things that ye shall do. Speak ye every man the truth to his neighbor. Execute the judgment of truth and peace in your gates. And let none of you imagine evil in your hearts against his neighbor. And love no false oath. For all these are things that I hate, saith the Lord. Again, we have such a contrary text here. He talks about loving and the truth, and then you have hate at the end of it. So you have love and truth in one breath again. But God tells us exactly what He hates. When God says He hates something, He basically means He doesn't like it at all. Hate is a very strong word. He says, this is what you are to do. You are to speak every man the truth to his neighbor, execute the judgment of truth and peace in your gates. I like how He puts truth and discernment and peace in one mind. Like a week ago when we preached on Philippians 1:9, let the love abound more and more in knowledge and judgment, that you might discern what is, that you might know, or you might discern what is the excellent things or things of reality. He says the same thing here. You can't have peace without truth. We can't have peace without truth. Beloved, the peace that we have with God came because God was truthful to us and revealed unto us our great need of Him. We'll never have peace if we don't know how to live in truth. Speak every man truth to his neighbor. And so that's why, because God deals with us in that fashion, we long and desire and pray and seek to deal also in our relationships with others, be it in the world, on the job, in the home, in the church. We want to be men and women who walk in the truth, who people can say, you're trustworthy. I can trust you. My expectations are not failing because you're a truthful, honest individual. It's amazing how Pilate asked the Lord when he was with him. Pilate said, what is truth? And truth was standing right before him. Beloved, when he says, buy the truth and sell it not, he's telling us, again, not only that it's invaluable, it should never be sold, but he's telling us, the words are telling us sometimes how difficult it is to obtain, preserve, maintain, and persevere in truth. It's going to cost something. And to keep it is going to cost something. Therefore, beloved, we should always strive as God's children. Children of the God who is abundant in truth, who is a God of truth, whose Jesus Christ is the truth and the Spirit is the truth, the Spirit of truth, we should ever strive to reflect our Heavenly Father in our actions, in everything that we do, in all aspects of life, so being truthful. Look over in Proverbs chapter 3, just for a few minutes. I want to kind of give you from Scripture some practical things on how we should walk in truth. If we understand the value of truth and we know that it's going to cost us something and we know that it's something that we sometimes have to struggle to persevere and maintain, we don't want to sell it. God help me not to sell the truth for a lie or deception. I want to be honest with everyone. What's the best way of doing it? Well, Proverbs chapter 3. We'll look at three verses in Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 3. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Write them upon the table of thine heart. Why does he combine mercy and truth? And we'll look at two other verses real quick here in a minute that also combines these two together. Why? Because many times we like to say, well, bless God, I'm telling the truth. Let mercy lead you in living or walking in truth. Why? Because that's how God, when God came truthful, if God came truthful, listen to this, if God came to us truthful without mercy leading the way, what would God say to us as sinners? You're a wicked, vile, no good, rotten sinner and deserve hell. No, how did He come to us? Truth and grace came by Jesus Christ. You see how God uses grace, mercy, mingled with truth? We've got such a false balance of this. You know, the arrogancy and bigotry and the haughtiness of so many Christians who, I'm standing on the truth. I've got the truth. We don't know how to deal with the truth in a way which is glorifying to God or reflects this great attribute of truth. And many times we do it in a way which is not glorifying to God. We can have the truth and be very, very belligerent about it. We can have the truth on our lips and yet know not how to explain, know not how to speak, know not how to walk in that truth. Because you see, and this is vitally important to understand, when we're talking about living or walking in the truth, we're not talking about maintaining ourselves or defending ourselves or protecting ourselves. What we're wanting people to do is we're wanting people to receive the truth. You follow my thought with that? We want people to be affected by the truth. We want to be an influence on them because of the truth. It's not about me being right or wrong. It's about I want people to understand that if I'm walking in the truth, I want them to be able to understand why I'm walking in the truth so that I might have some kind of an influence upon their lives. That's what he meant when he said walk in the truth. You see, Christianity is never about ourselves. It's always about others. When we're living out in the world, it's not to bring glory unto ourselves. God shares His glory with no man. But what? It's being a light unto the world, salt unto the earth. Why? That they might see our good works and glorify God who is in heaven. So what I want to do is I don't want to defend myself. I want to defend the truth. And in defending the truth, I want the truth to be received. Isn't that God's goal in dealing with us? Isn't that what He says? Doesn't He deal with us? In Hebrews chapter 12, it talks about, you know, that God chastens us because He loves us. Every son He loveth, He chastens us. Why does He do that? So that we might have the peaceable fruits of righteousness. Why is God so truthful with us? That He might see something effectual in us. That it might produce something in us for the good. We should have that same state of mind as believers. That no matter what I do when I'm talking about the truth, I want the truth to be successful. I want the truth to be effectual in working in others' people's lives as it's worked in mine. I don't want to just simply defend myself. I want to be able to see the truth effectually received. You follow my train of thought with that? It's exactly what Scripture's talking about. Love of Christian character is something that is very lacking in this day and age in which we live in. Christian honesty and sincerity. The fruits of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5. Beloved, it's not easy in this wicked world in which we're living in. It's not easy to buy the truth, but it's very easy to sell it. And we can't do that. Let me look at two more verses and then I'll bring this to close. Look at Proverbs 14. Proverbs 14, 22 again. Proverbs 14, 22. Do they not err that devise evil? But mercy and truth shall be to them that devise good. You see what I said before? Mercy and truth shall be to them that devise good. You see? Truth wants to do good. Truth wants to accomplish something. Truth wants to be able to be edifying. Truth wants to... Isn't that what Ephesians 4 says? The love of the truth? Truth, if we have biblical truth, and if we have some kind of reflection of God's truth, it wants to be edifying. It never wants to be destructive. It wants to edify. Proverbs 16, verse 6. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. And by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. You see, mercy and truth, again, is coupled together, linked together, that iniquity might be purged. Why? You need to have truth, but you also need to exercise that truth in mercy. For what? That iniquity might be purged. Those are just a few verses, and you can find more in Scripture if you want to look. Psalms 85, for example, says mercy and truth have kissed. Joined together. They come in one. But the wise man in Proverbs tells us that we need to buy truth at whatever cost it is. Buy the truth. And there's no price on it because it's invaluable, but never sell it for any price. Buy it at any price, but never sell it for at any price. And beloved, as long as this world continues the way it's going now, with all the lies and deceptions, it just seems like from the world's point of view, it's normal to be dishonest. It's normal to be deceptive. It's normal to be hypocritical in my relationships. That's not what God requires of His children. You say, well, if I'm truthful, then it might cost me something. If I'm truthful, it might cause me to be put in a very uncomfortable situation with my job, my family, church members, the church. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. Mercy and truth devises good. If I'm allowing myself to be truthful with mercy adorned in it, then that truthfulness of my relationship is going to be edifying and never destructive. It's unbelievable how Christians can boast and yell and scream about knowing the truth, and yet they're destructive with that knowledge, and they're not edifying anybody. It's not being effectual in other people's lives. It serves basically to prove their standpoint rather than being edifying. That is not what the Bible says about truth. That's what we need to realize, especially in this world, because if we ever hope to be used by God to help others come to know the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ or salvation, we need to be truthful about them, but truth wrapped in mercy. And when people realize that Christians are really trustworthy, that Christians are honest and not deceptive and not hypocrites, you know what? You've done away with a big, huge wall, and people will be more receptive to what we have to say. You know that? They will be more receptive. So may God give us grace and mercy to buy the truth and never sell it. Amen? Good. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank You, Lord, for these practical instructions this morning. We pray that, God, You would help us as Thy children to realize the infinite value of truth. And, Lord, that we might esteem it in our lives and all that we say and do as we walk in this wicked world, that, Father, thrives on lies and hypocrisy and deception and dishonesty, falsehood and error. Father, I pray that, God, You would help us here at Grace Baptist Church. May we, Lord God, by Thy grace and by Thy mercy, may we buy the truth at whatever cost. And, Father, may You give us grace never to sell it. For, Father, if we do purchase the truth and it exists and grows and excels in our hearts and our church, then, Father, that same truth that set us free, God, will also set others free with whom we come into contact with. Give us grace and mercy, we pray. For it's in Christ's name we pray these things. Amen. Amen. Lord bless you. We've got a few minutes to...